Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So first you had Justice Amy Coney Barrett saying that the Supreme Court is not comprised of a bunch of partisan hacks. Now today you got Justice Alito saying that the High Court is not a dangerous cabal. And I got to tell you, when you have to defend on those lines, it kind of makes you wonder. You know, are they a bunch of partisan hacks? Is it a dangerous cabal? And look, we're entering into the next couple of weeks, going to be the culture wars getting into the courts. And we're going to find out exactly, well, where they stand on those culture war issues. And here to share some thoughts on what we can expect coming out of this court in the next term, I've asked Elliot Mintzberg to come talk with us. Elliot's a senior fellow over at the People for the American Way. Elliot, thanks for taking time for us.
Pleasure to do it, Rick.
So here we are, the former guy's gone. All of those hot-button culture war issues have now made it through the lower courts and going to be sitting on the Roberts Court's lap. Abortion, religion, all of those things. How bad is this term going to be?
It could be a disaster for Americans and their rights. This will be the first time in about 30 years that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has not sat on the Supreme Court, replaced as she is by Amy Coney Barrett, starting this term, making those very defensive comments that you pointed out. And unfortunately, she's already shown that there's good reason for concern about the dangerous cabal that now as many as six justices of the Supreme Court can constitute that can take away rights with respect to abortion care, common sense gun safety, and religious freedom, among just a few.
Yeah, and today the court, I guess, agreed to hear this challenge in Boston, because the way I'm getting this, the city of Boston rejected a group's demand to raise a Christian flag over the city hall, and they said no, you know, we've got to raise the, you know, the American flag and whatever. Can we now? I guess we're going to start, if this goes through, we're going to see religious flags all over the place.
Well, unfortunately, what we've seen from this court, and we'll have to see if they're willing to go this far, is extreme deference to religious extremists, even to the extent of sometimes compromising COVID-19 safety rules, as we saw last term. And that case, plus the case where where religious extremists are claiming that a state must pay, not can pay, but must pay for religious education in schools, are examples that could seriously harm the religious freedom of most of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite remarkable. But I look at this flag issue, and I brought this up to someone today, and they're like, what's the big deal? It's just a flag. So the question is, what is the big deal if we allow a religious group to fly their flag for a couple of days?
Well, it's not them flying their flag over their headquarters. It's essentially forcing the city of Boston to itself fly the flag right alongside the state flag and the United States flag, clearly, symbolically endorsing, having the government endorse their very clearly religious message, something that's never been permitted before by the Supreme Court or any other court. The First Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously rejected that idea. But that's what they're trying to do. They are trying, are the religious extremists, to co-opt government in their favor in a way that hurts the religious freedom of everybody else besides them.
So the fact that you're saying the lower court unanimously rejected this, so that tells me there are four justices that, because I guess you have to have four justices to take a court case, there are four of them that'll probably vote for this. So one more, this could be the law of the land. We could be seeing religious flags flying over our capitals.
It's quite possible. I mean, this doesn't necessarily apply to every single situation, but there are many situations where government, for example, will endorse the Boy Scouts or will endorse other recognized private interests, which if they do that from now on, they would have to endorse also religious extremist points of view, along with everything else.
Yeah. So, because my friends are like, well, what's the big deal? I go, well, if it's your religion, probably not a big deal in your mind. But what if it's a religion you don't agree with?
That's exactly correct. The whole idea of religious freedom in our country is that we are each free to practice our religion, but not to have the government push somebody else's religion. Or as Ruth Bader Ginsburg once put it, your right to swing your fist stops at the other guy's nose. When you push your religious freedom to harm somebody else, the Constitution is supposed to stop that from happening. That's been the case. We've seen some exceptions. These two cases this year on the flag and on the required funding of religious education could really take us back to before the early 1960s when the Supreme Court said that government couldn't force students to say a Christian prayer in schools.
Yeah, I mean, we're heading into an interesting moment. I got to tell you, I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy given the fact that this court has a history of overturning long decided law. You know, I look at the Janus decision. You know, just decided out of whole cloth. It doesn't give me great faith.
It shouldn't. I mean, you know, you see already what they did in the area of abortion care to allow the terrible Texas law to take effect. Now they're being asked explicitly to say that states can prohibit abortions long before viability, clearly threatening to eliminate the constitutional right to reproductive freedom that was protected almost 50 years ago in Roe versus Wade.
Now, there seem to be a lot of cases on the abortion issue. You got the one in Mississippi. You got one in Texas. I guess there's another one from attorneys generals who I guess have filed. There's a bunch of this that seem to have made their way into this, all from different angles and, you know, different schemes. But they're all going for the same thing, which is to limit my daughter's ability to oversee what happens to her future.
Absolutely correct. To allow restrictive governments to do what they will on this, but at the same time, here's one of the interesting ironies, saying that even in the name of saving people's lives, government can't go forward with common sense gun safety regulations, that even Justice Scalia, when he reinvigorated the Second Amendment some time ago, said ought to be safe. But Amy Coney Barrett already made clear on the Seventh Circuit that she thinks a lot of those laws ought to go, and the third major area the courts accepted this year in the area of gun violence and gun safety could very well eliminate an important gun safety regulation in New York that says that if you want to carry a gun walking up and down the street, a concealed gun, you have to have a good reason for it. That's all it says. And the NRA and their advocates want to eliminate that.
Yeah, well, they want those to be issued at birth. I mean, you know, that's the, we want to be strapping on six-year-olds as they're going to kindergarten.
Well, and the enormous contradiction is clear. On the one hand, let the states do what they want to restrict abortion care. On the other hand, don't let them do anything to save lives with gun safety rules.
Yeah, but let me ask you about the abortion question, because I do believe that they're going to find a way to make it much more difficult, much more restrictive, without an outright ban. You're the expert here, but I don't think they're going to go all the way this time. I think that comes down the road because, look, I think the Republicans need it as an issue to keep people blinded by reality and, you know, emptying their pockets into the campaign coffers. Let's say they do it all. It's now unconstitutional. It's now thrown out. They've overturned it. What does that look like then? What happens after the day after?
Well, we've seen, unfortunately, a preview of that in Texas, where the law that was allowed to take effect there effectively closed abortion clinics all through the state. And as a result of that, particularly poor women have been forced to have unwanted births. Some people have tried to go out of state to do what they can do. Back alley abortions could be literally around the corner again, all in the name of if not overturning in name, as you suggest, effectively eviscerating the protections of decisions like Roe versus Wade and Casey.
And you know who will continue to get safe abortions? Wealthy women. Yeah, the wealthy politicians who push this through, their daughters and their wives, they'll get what they need. It's poor people who are going to suffer, and that's my problem with a lot of this stuff. Seems very punitive and very pointed at poor people.
Absolutely right. Poor people, minorities, people who aren't in with some of the unfortunately predominant forces in so many of our state and local governments around the country.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this Texas law that is especially interesting and creative. I got to give them credit. This was a new little wrinkle, this whole bounty hunter thing. We could turn this into a reality game show.
Oh, absolutely right. And if the Supreme Court doesn't go as far as right-wing extremists want them to in terms of gun safety, the same thing could happen with guns. You set up a law that would allow people to sue anybody that tries to stop them, even in the name of gun safety and saving lives, from total unfettered access to the most deadly weapons.
Yeah, it's we're heading into very bizarre territory. And you know, I don't even know where this leads us, but I have nothing but fear and dread of this court, given their history. And it's not just women's rights. It's just not guns. It's also people with disabilities who are on the chopping block, because there are a number of cases I see that have made their way through that will harm the disability community. I'm curious your thoughts on some of what that could look like.
Now, those are extremely dangerous cases. There's one in particular where the court's being asked to rule that the only way you can claim discrimination based on disability is if you can prove intent to discriminate on the basis of disability, that you can't do what you could do with all other civil rights laws, including fair employment laws, and argue that if a state or in this case a drugstore like CVS has a policy that has the effect of seriously harming people with disabilities, they can't even get into the courthouse door unless they can prove it was intended to harm them because of their disability, an impossible burden that Congress never intended and that the court may impose. Now, Congress can do something about that and hopefully can do something about some of these other bad decisions if they come down. And we all have to encourage Congress to do what it can on that front. But the court ultimately has a lot of authority under our Constitution.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's all too clear that the new majority is prepared to exercise that.
But Elliot, we can't get an infrastructure bill passed through that the overwhelming majority of the country wants. What makes you think we're going to be able to pass another law to protect the disabled?
I think that's a very fair concern. I think that's a very, very fair concern. I think we have seen, unfortunately, in our Congress on that issue, on voting rights, on a number of other issues, the ability of a minority to stop Congress from doing what it needs to do, which emphasizes, I think, the other key thing that people can do. You have to vote. You have to vote as if your life and your rights depend on it, because they do. And that means in elections, you have to consider the Supreme Court as an issue the same way the far right has for 50 years, and you have to vote out members of Congress, be they Republicans or Democrats, that are standing in the way of the key progress. If Joe Biden had another, let's say, three, maybe even one or two truly committed Democratic members of the Senate, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because some of these bills would have passed.
Yeah, we could maybe get something done. No, you're spot on right there. So last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, Joe Biden has come out and said that we're going to use the federal government to mandate vaccines for employers that have over 100 people. If you are taking Medicare or Medicaid in your hospital system, you have to get it. There are no exemptions. There's no, hey, we'll test you if you wear a mask and all that stuff. My fear and my concern is that this ends up before the Supreme Court and they throw it out. I'm a supporter of mandating vaccines. You have a choice not to do it. Those choices come with consequences. I'm curious if this is something that could be, obviously you're the court expert, if this is something that could end up before them.
It certainly could. There is long-standing precedent going way back to 1917 from the Supreme Court that says that when it comes to communicable diseases which can threaten other people, that the states and the government has a right to mandate vaccination, because it's not just you that's affected, it's other people who you infect. I'm very hopeful that the Supreme Court won't overturn that, but with this Supreme Court, who knows?
No, I mean, because I look at the religious extremist bent that I see, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned that I have... let's leave it there. I'm concerned that we don't get something, because maybe we get some kind of crackpot idea of like the one woman who said, I'm drenched in the blood of Jesus, so I can't get sick, which is weird on so many levels. But I fear that, or my fear is too out there for right now.
Well, I hope they are, but I wish I could say that they are, because we just don't know. There have only been a very, very few ruling so far from lower court judges, not uniformly one way, but generally have upheld the authority of the government to mandate vaccines when you're dealing with deadly communicable diseases like COVID-19. But we've seen many instances before, like some of the cases we talked about tonight, where the lower courts have done the right common sense thing, and the Supreme Court, with the three Trump justices now added and dominating the court, have gone ahead and reversed it. Yeah. So the short answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
I think we have to continue to do what we've been doing, and the administration deserves credit for actually moving forward in this area. But we cannot relax. We have to continue to push. And I think, although they haven't changed their decisions yet, it's clear, as you pointed out in the beginning, that even these right-wing justices are noticing the severe criticism they're getting. And I think a third thing I'd recommend is that people continue criticizing the court when it does wrong.
There you go. Good stuff. Elliot, I appreciate the time. Thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
Good stuff. Elliot Mintzberg, People for the American Way. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Working people, come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.